Thank y'all. I appreciate it. It is a good service thus far. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 17, if you will, please. I appreciate the special singing each time before the message. Revelation chapter 17 and 18 is my message tonight, and I feel that I need to read with you these two chapters. I'm going to speak to you on the subject of the great whore and her harlot daughters. I have no doubt in my mind but what the Lord has given me to preach from these chapters tonight is the truth of what these scriptures are talking about. And if this is not what it's talking about, you tell me what it's talking about. It's not something that will make you popular in the eyes of the world, but really that's not what we're in the world for. You know, Paul said to Timothy, when he talked about the last days, how that people would heap to themselves teachers because that they had itching ears and would be turned away from the truth and turned into fables. And he told Peter to preach the word. So that seems to be the antidote for these things in the last days. And I know that we're not going to turn the world around, but still we're to stand for the truth. So let's begin reading in Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And as I said, I have studied this and I've tried to pick out verses and just read a little bit of Scripture maybe before the message. But I feel impressed to read the two chapters with you. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I was going to try to read without stopping very much, but I can't help but as I read this, thinking about where it came from. You remember, you know that John was on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord was giving him this vision, these signs of things that was going to come to pass, and all that John knew was just what the Lord was showing him. He couldn't understand how it was going to happen. But just imagine as John was shown this vision. You remember that John had been put on the Isle of Patmos because that he preached that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And his church, he was pastor of the church at Ephesus, as you know. And his church, no doubt, was in prayer for him while he was there on the Isle of Patmos. And the Lord is showing unto him these things. And the church, I believe, was his whole life. He saw this woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, he said, I wondered with great admiration or with great wonderment. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I'll tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly be burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ornaments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? They cast dust upon their head and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Now that's what's happening on the earth. Now listen. Rejoice over her, thy heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word, and I'll go right into the message. on this subject now of the great whore and her harlot daughters. Whatever the devil cannot destroy by opposition, he always tries to destroy by imitation. He tried to destroy the Lord's church in her early days, in her infancy. And I believe that the devil thought that he was going to be able to destroy the Lord's church. In his mind, he caused the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified. And then later he destroyed all of the charter members of the Lord's church. You remember James was beheaded. He's one of the apostles. And he was beheaded. And one by one, those early disciples suffered hardship and heartache and martyrdom as a result of the opposition of Satan to the Lord's little flock or his church. Every time one was destroyed, another would rise up to take his place, or maybe two. The ones that knew and loved the Lord were so devoted to the cause of Christ that their life was such a testimony that when one of them would be put to death for standing for truth, then there would be another or two sometimes rise up to take his place. And so Satan found out that he was not being able to accomplish his purpose in destroying the Lord's church, and so he changed his motive. And instead of trying to destroy the Lord's church by opposition, he decided that he would build him a church, and that his church would imitate the church that our Lord Jesus had built. I am confident that Roman Catholicism is the devil's counterfeit church. The Bible tells us about it. I'll give you this verse that I've used recently, Matthew 13:33. Matthew 13:33. I think that this is a very important truth here in this verse of Scripture, Matthew 13:33. Jesus is speaking a parable, and he said unto them, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." You know that leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. The leaven here is false doctrine. The meal here is the gospel teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the woman is apostate Christianity, headed up, I believe, by Roman Catholicism. From the time that Roman Catholicism began, from the time that it came into existence, Rome has been doing the same thing that Jesus said in the parable that this woman did. She has been secretly and silently hiding leaven, a little false doctrine, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and causing it to be contaminated, and it is has been growing and growing and reaching out further and further into religion in all of these years. The whole religious world is leavened with Catholicism. Lots of people, and I've noticed it more this year, I think that it's growing. Lots of people are taking part in a holiday now called Halloween. Do you have any idea where this celebration came from? I've been studying on this for a few days, and as I have talked to people about where this celebration came from, I find that the people that I have talked to knew nothing about it. It was just here. They just found themselves taking part in it and had no idea where it came from. Well, I looked this up in the World Book Encyclopedia, And it's not difficult to find. This celebration came from the old Celtic festivals. Now the Celts, C-E-L-T-S, were an ancient people in Central and Western Europe. And like all heathen religions, they had many gods. Now the Celtic, one of their gods, was the Lord of Death. They believed that one night a year, that this God of Death, that he allowed the souls of those that had died to come back to their earthly dwelling for one evening. You ever wonder why in the Halloween celebration that there are the ghosts and the goblins? Ever wonder where they came from? They came from this old Celtic, heathenistic festival that goes back before the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, even. And this heathenistic religion, they had this belief that on one night that their God would allow the departed souls to come back to their earthly dwelling. Now the priests of this religion and the teachers of this religion, they ordered the people to put out their hearth fires, they call it, and they built a bonfire. They built this bonfire out of oak branches, which they believed that were sacred. And they burnt offerings in this fire, this bonfire. They burned animals, they burned crops, and possibly human beings as sacrifices. During this celebration, the people wore costumes made of animals' heads and skins. Ever wonder where the scary costumes and the false faces come from used at Halloween? And someone says, well, how in the world did such a celebration come from there to here? Remember the woman that hid a little bit of leaven in the 3 measures of meal? Secretly hid it there that it might leaven the whole lump. All of this is the working of Satan, that he might bring this in to the Lord's church. He didn't do it overnight. He knew he couldn't do it overnight. He did it over years and hundreds of years. Now let me tell you how that it came about. In the 9th century, the Catholic Church established what they call All Souls Day. They still have that, and it is on November the 1st, and it's marked on your calendar. All Souls Day. You know that they believe in praying for the dead. They believe in honoring the dead. They believe that their church and pope can make someone a saint, declare them a saint in heaven because that they live such a good life. That enables them to be able to pray for sinners. And so they established this All Saints Day, in which they honor the dead, and that's on November the 1st that they set this day. The Catholics had that day already set aside as a holiday, November the 1st. And then they developed this festival of the dead from the Celts, so that people who came to join the Catholic Church from this heathenistic religion. They could go ahead and celebrate the festival that had been their custom of their forefathers all of these years, and not have to give that up when they came into Catholicism. So this evening before All Saints' Day was called Hallowed Evening. That was the day that the souls of the departed were to come back to their earthly dwelling. So they designated this last day of October, the evening before All Souls' Day, as being Hallowed Evening. And then they shortened it to Halloween. Now, how in the world would you ever get Baptist to take part in something like that? How in the world would you ever get them to take part in it? And how would you ever get them to spend money decorating and dressing up for such a festival as that? Hardly ever my wife and I go out just for a drive. But yesterday afternoon we went out driving. And we saw a number of yards decorated for Halloween. We saw one that was decorated more than the others. It had all the ghosts and the cobwebs and everything out there. And you know school teachers are smart. And this was in a school teacher's yard. Not a member here, but this was in a school teacher's yard that they had it all decorated up. But no wonder, because some Baptist, and I notice our Sunday school teacher sometime when he uses something like that, he puts that Baptist in quotation mark. I think I'm going to put a question mark behind it. But some Baptist churches will even have Halloween programs. Look how far that has gone. And you know how many will have Christmas and Easter programs. And it all came from Catholicism. None of it came from the Bible. So what's been happening? The devil is being successful in bringing this from his church into the Lord's church. But that verse say in Matthew, a woman, apostate religion, took a little leaven and hid it in three measures of meal, the Lord's true gospel, till the whole were leavened. Any church that has any kind of a Halloween, Christmas, or Easter program is to that extent leavened by the great whore. No denying it. That's where it came from. And there is some kind of Catholicism in practically every church today. And that tells us just how far that Rome has gone in leavening and corrupting the true teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three kinds of churches in the world. The Romanist churches are devil-made. The Protestant churches are man-made. And the Baptist churches are God-made. I have nothing against any individual Catholic or Protestant person in the world. In fact, I have some mighty good friends that are members of the Catholic Church, and I have some mighty good friends who are members of Protestant churches. And I'll go to any length to do anything that I can for them. But I have absolutely no use for any Catholic or Protestant church. But I love the church that Jesus built, that one that He bought with His own blood, that one that He started 2,000 years ago, the only institution that He ever had His membership connected with. Do not misunderstand me. I'm not discussing anyone's salvation. I'm discussing churches. And any person who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is saved and going to heaven, because there's not anything for them to go to hell for. If Jesus Christ has bore their sins on Calvary's cross, then Jesus Christ has already suffered their hell. And salvation is not in any church, but is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So any person, regardless of what church they are a member of, or whether or not they are a member of any church, regardless of whether they have been baptized or not have been baptized, any person who has seen the truth that Jesus Christ died for their sins, past, present, and future, any person that God has revealed that unto and shown them that Christ has died for their sins, that person is saved and going to heaven when they die. While I am ready to grant that any person who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior is saved, I am not willing to grant that everything that calls itself a church in this world is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A pure woman in the Bible is symbolic of a pure church. And an impure woman in the Bible is symbolic of an impure church. And when we read about this impure woman that the Bible calls the great whore, we will read about one who symbolizes an impure church. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 18. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now here's a key to who this woman is. In John's day, and God is talking to him in that time when that it had to be something that John understood about the day, about the city. There was but one city in John's day that reigned over the kings of the earth, and that city was Rome. And you know what church is in the city of Rome. Now this great whore has sent out her representatives into many nations. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. Verse 15 in that chapter said, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore setteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So she has representatives or churches throughout all of the earth. I suppose that there is not a country that you can go to, but what you'll find that Catholicism represented. And she has an able confederate in the beast, if you look at verse 3 in that 17th chapter. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This beast refers to the Antichrist. When the Antichrist reigns during the tribulation period, he's going to make some religion his state church. And I think it only logical that he'll make Catholicism his state church. Because this is something that you can see today. Catholicism is growing. Protestantism is dying out. Going back into Catholicism, where they came out from. So when the beast takes over, he'll make Catholicism his state religion. And this woman, the great whore, is decked with scarlet. That next verse, verse 4 says, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. You know that scarlet is the royal color of Catholicism. And that's just one more identifying link showing that this woman represents Roman Catholicism. Her wealth is mentioned there, and that's another identifying mark. That verse says that she's decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Rome is rich. Roman Catholicism holds much of the financial power of the world. But that verse goes on to say that this woman has a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. That cup is filled, and that cup that she holds is filled with false doctrine. And I could name many, and you could name many. Let me just mention a few. One is the false doctrine of Catholicism, that the Virgin Mary was without sin. Now there's your leaven in your meal. She was the Virgin Mary. And they strongly contend for that as we do. But they add that she was without sin. And that's wrong. There's only one ever lived without sin. That's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another false doctrine that they have is that the Pope, when he wears his robe, that he cannot sin, that he cannot make a mistake. Inside that cup is the false doctrine of image worship, and that there's power in statues. There in that cup is the teaching of salvation by works, salvation by baptism. If there had been no Catholic Church, these doctrines would not be in the world today. Inside that cup, that golden cup in her hand, are abominations, one on top of the other. No way that I can finish what I would like to in this message tonight. This woman is not only a woman of ill repute herself, but she, according to verse 5, is the mother of harlots. And every church that is sprung out of Catholicism is a harlot daughter. This woman is drunk with blood, according to verse 6. J.M. Carroll, who wrote the book, The Trail of Blood, estimates that over 50 million Baptists were killed and died for the defense of the faith and shed their blood as martyrs during the Dark Ages rather than give up their beliefs. Beloved, standing for these truths makes us very unpopular with the world. But we may as well face the facts as they're laid down in the Word of God. We're coming down to the end, folks. And we need to remember that every time we see a Roman Catholic Church, we see that which is symbolized by this woman whom the Bible calls the Great Whore, the Mother of Harlots. And it should also remind us that our Baptist heritage today has been dearly bought with the price of the blood of saints. How many Baptists today would be willing to shed their life's blood, would be willing to lay down their life, would be willing to die rather than have their babies baptized, or rather than to take part in an Easter service or a Christmas service or a Halloween service? Many, many, many Baptist preachers lead their people to take part in union services with this great whore and her harlot daughters. And many Baptist churches have their Good Friday services and Easter services and all of these things. We've come a long way since Baptists refused to participate in such services and would rather be killed than to take part in them. You see what the devil has been able to do by hiding a little leaven in three measures of meal and letting it grow over the years. But God hasn't forgotten. Revelation 18, verse 5 and 6. Revelation 18, verse 5 and 6. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her as she rewarded you, God said, double unto her, double according to her works in the cup, which she hath filled to her double. You know, it may seem strange that God has allowed Rome to prosper, but her day is coming. You know, it's a long road that doesn't turn or that has no end. As I said, the Antichrist during the period of his reign, during the tribulation period, I think 17:16 is the verse I'm looking for. But he's going to use Catholicism as his state church for a time, and then he'll turn on her and completely destroy and annihilate her. Revelation 17:16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. You see, God is not going to forget. You and I, who are saved, and all of the redeemed, are going to have a ringside seat in the sky, watching the destruction that will come upon a world that's left God out of their consideration. And we'll see the destruction of Rome, and we'll rejoice. In the 18th chapter, verse 20, and the 19th chapter, verse 1, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. 19:1 said, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And you could just go on and read more in that chapter, and you'd see how that there will be joy and rejoicing in heaven over the destruction of this false religion. So, in closing, in view of the fact that God is going to root up all false churches, let me make an appeal tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ made. In the 18th chapter and verse 4, he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. There are some saved Catholics, but they're in the wrong church. Regardless of what they've been taught, There are some saved Protestants, but they're in the wrong churches. And the Lord says, come out. Come out before the day of destruction. Come out and get in a New Testament church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and preaches the Word of God. And in closing, to you who are in the Lord's church, you who are members here, just breathe a little deeper, square your shoulders a little more, maybe roll your sleeves a little higher, stand a little firmer for the things of God. It's not going to be easy, but do it for just a little longer, and some of these days we're going to be with Him. And then it'll be worth it all. May God help us to be faithful in these last trying days until He comes. Let's have a couple of stanzas of an invitation hymn. If you need to come for any reason tonight, we bid you to come. Maybe you need to come and unite with the church, any way the church can receive members. Maybe you need to come on profession of your faith in Christ. Maybe just tonight you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you'd like to come. Maybe some time ago, even years ago, you were saved. You don't have scriptural baptism. You want to come. Let's stand. What shall we sing?